elderly couple were living down in Florida in a mobile home park that catered to retirees from up north. He was a widower and she was a widow, and they had lived there and had known each other for a number of years. There was a community potluck in the big community center, and they were there sitting across from each other, engaging in conversation. He was giving her a few admiring glances. Finally, he got up the courage and he said to her, "Will you marry me?" And after about 6 seconds of careful consideration, she said, "Yes, yes, I will." A few more exchanges, and then they went to their respective places. The next morning, he was troubled. Did she say yes or did she say no? Couldn't remember. Not even the faintest idea. So with trepidation, he called her on the phone. He confessed that he didn't remember as well as he used to, but recalled the lovely evening they had had. And then finally, as his courage got stronger, he said to her, "When I asked you to marry me, did you say yes or did you say no?" And he was delighted to hear her say, "Why, I said yes, yes, I will. And I meant it with all my heart. And I'm so glad you called because I forgot who had asked me." Now, with each passing day, that becomes less funny to me. It has to do with love, doesn't it? Living the good life, I mean. It has to do with how we handle our inheritance. Comedy routines abound about the family and friends seated around the attorney's desk for the last reading of the will and the testament of the person who's deceased. And it's always the worthless nephew, or maybe the mistress, who gets all of the accumulated stuff. The attorneys in this congregation will tell you that in real life, the scene is much different. Literally, sometimes families are torn to shreds by attempting to divide the accumulated stuff and the savings of the previous generation. Things sometimes get in our way. I want to tell you about another kind of inheritance, one that we receive, if we choose, from a Galilean peasant spiritual leader. He has gathered his disciples about him. The gospel for this Sunday from John comes from that portion which is called the farewell discourse of Jesus to his followers. He's telling them about an inheritance. If we choose, this is the inheritance he gives us, the legacy he leaves us. First, you will live by a new ethic. And it is based squarely on love. To love God, to keep his commandments, he said, you must love God and you must love others, God's children. So if we wish to accept this inheritance, we will live by that radical demand to love. He also said that you will be described, or at least live in the world and have an independent reality of life which is best described by the word joy. Deep, soulful joy will characterize those who accept his inheritance. Joy which is independent of the external things that are going on in life. As a matter of fact, this kind of joy can come in the most adverse circumstances. Someone asked Mother Teresa one day what kept her going, and she said, the joy I feel from God's love. Joy. Joy in Calcutta among the dying and the starving. That's the last place you would look for joy. But that's using the world's definition of joy. God's definition is far different. You would have this indescribable sense of joy in living. Take a look at him for a moment. He's near the end of his life. He's about to be executed because he has called the authorities to task for their mishandling of an inheritance. Someone once said the best description of their character is to watch them try to divide an inheritance. So he's about to face execution, and yet his life is described by peace and joy, and that he gave to a gift he gave to his followers, his disciples, those who would accept his inheritance. We live by that ethic of love. We are described by this profound sense of joy in life, which does not come from the world. The world cannot give it, the world cannot take it away, and will never understand it. He had only 12 who he'd given this message to. One of them would deny him, one would betray him, one would deny him not once but three times. The others would run away at the first sign of trouble. Only the faithful women stayed with him to the end. And yet, his life is described by that peace and joy. He's in charge. He leaves that gift to his followers. Then he said, if you accept this love and that precondition that to the rest of the inheritance, because the love determines your relationship with all the others around you. It's based on an equality. It doesn't have anything to do with race or social standing or accumulated wealth. It has to do with love for all, because all are equal. Then he said, if you follow that ethic of love and you are known with this profound joy, you will also have another relationship in the world, and that is friends. Based on friendship. People serve each other in this community as friends. Friends serving friends, not superior to subordinate. Said, servant doesn't know what the master's doing. I'm revealing it all to you. You're going to be my friends. That's what you inherit, this friendship. Then you are friends with others. And then we become a community that welcomes the stranger and the new person into a community that the watchwords are love and joy. We expect them and welcome them and want them. That's what we inherit. Much better than some rich relative might leave us. Doesn't have anything to do with material things. Eternal things. Love, joy, and friendship. Dostoevsky in The Brothers Karamazov tells the story about an old woman. She was a wicked old woman. And she died. She went to the lake of fire. Her guardian angel was searching, trying to remember some good deed that she did that he could tell God. Finally, he remembered that she had picked an onion out of her garden once and gave it to a beggar woman. God said, you take that onion. You hold it out to her in the lake. If she can be pulled out, then she can come to paradise. If not, she has to stay where she is. The guardian angel ran and got the onion and held it out to her. She was beginning to be pulled out. The others in the lake saw her being pulled out, and they began to grab hold of her. But remember, she was a wicked woman. She began to kick and scream. "Get off," she said. "It's my onion, not yours. I'm to be pulled out, not you." And when she said that, the onion broke, and she fell back into the lake. It's my onion, not yours. It was her life and her death. Anytime we say, "It's my onion and not yours," the onion breaks. We have to remember what we've inherited: love, joy, and friendship. And don't ever forget the character of this family, and families like it are best described and demonstrated by the way we handle this precious, amazing inheritance.